All right. Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
You know what? It's all right. Guess what we're doing?
Playing chess?
Not this week.
Oh, good.
This week it is another episode of Late to the Party. I'm Jake. And?
And I am Travis Tate. How about that?
So what's new, man?
Oh, you know, just 4th of July stuff. How was that? We had the 4th of July recently.
You know, my 4th of July was pretty mellow this year. I ended up working, so once you get home, wasn't really feeling much. We've had good years of that stuff, so this year came home and, you know, I had a day of work. Wife was kind of just had a day. She ended up staying home and hung out with Gabe all day, so they, you know, they had a day of watching movies and hanging out, and you know, by the evening, just none of us were really feeling like there was nothing patriotic we felt like doing. You know?
Yeah, the heat zaps you. We're in Utah. It's a dry heat, folks. I know there's listeners all over the country now, so we have a nice dry heat. It's in the hundreds now.
Yeah, update. Our fan in the Netherlands has not contacted me yet.
Yeah. They want to remain mysterious. So for me, I mean, mostly did kind of family stuff. We, our little town, we had a parade. So my wife and daughter staked out a spot.
Okay, this is a good thing to get into. So by staking out a spot, how far ahead did you end up having to stake out a spot?
It was like 2 days, I think.
Yeah?
Yes, it was early enough that I made a joke about people putting lawn chairs up and tape around it.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, some of that is ours, by the way. So I had to shut up about it.
No, I don't know. It's a thing about me. It's the same annoyance that I feel when, like, the new Star Wars is coming out, and if you want to go opening night, you got to get your tickets in March.
Right.
And there's something in me that just like, oh, no. You should be able to go the day of and see the movie if you want to. And that's probably an unrealistic expectation. Obviously, they can't have, you know, seats for all them butts. But, you know, it's that so far in advance. And I get the same thing, you know, because here in the big city, I drive, you know, down State Street, and week ahead, there's the emergency tape and lawn chairs. And I think probably the annoyance with that isn't just people staking out spots. It's there's three chairs and 500 square feet of tape around it.
Right.
And people putting up big, you know, pop-up tents and things like that. It's like, you know what? Again, it'd be real nice if you could wake up the day of and, you know, run out to there and just people in the, you know, just people hanging out. But no, like, we stake out these spots and driving to work on the 4th was hilarious because it was elderly white people. It was white people in their late 50s and, you know, through their 60s just sitting out there. And it's like, man. That's how you get your joy in life is like we got here first.
Yep, it's the highlight of their week. Well, for us, it was just my daughter's like, we should do that. Let's go get some chairs. So I guess her and my wife grabbed some chairs, bought some caution tape, stick out a spot. It was a nice little spot.
That's also
had my entire family. You know,
caution tape.
Yeah,
ain't no emergency.
I know. I was like, I guess we're gonna have to use this at Halloween for something because I don't know when we're ever gonna use this. We're gonna own it for the rest of our lives.
Scratches that same annoyance when I go to the grocery store and there is a car out with its emergency flashes on. Like, look, you not wanting to park and just have whomever go in and bring the groceries out. That's not an emergency. Your emergency, you know, any type of place where they pull up and someone gets out and the emergency flashes go on. Like, look. You sending your girlfriend to go get tickets at the movie is not an emergency. Own it. They should have dickhead.
It is flashes. If you have the gout.
They should have lights that just say, "I don't want to go through the real motions of this. Just drive around."
Too
emergency
lazy.
Emergency flashers are too specific.
It just says, "I'm lazy. I'm lazy." That's mostly what it is. But it was. I mean, it was a nice little parade. Had a good spot.
Yeah.
Right in front of the elementary school in my little town. So it's a. It was in the grass for once. Usually, that's the first time we've ever done that. We usually just find a spot somewhere near my parents' house and watch it from there. But this was nice. It was pretty fun. Then after that, it was go down to the park. We always have a little celebration down at the park. There's a car show. There's like food trucks and water slides and stuff like that.
What do you see at the car show?
Pretty much the same cars that I see there three times a year when they have a car show. It's just local people. There was this one truck. and they were trying to pass it off as Mater from Cars. By they had bought a
paper mache.
Well, it was just a like a white and blue old Chevy from the 70s, and they had one of those visors in the window that has Mater's eyes, yeah. And then there was something in the front that looked like his mouth and teeth. And I walked by, I was like, yeah, that's Mater, like I'm Chris Hemsworth.
Mooter.
Yeah. Just eyes that look similar does not make you what you're trying to pass yourself. I am not Thor. Just because I have blue eyes and blondish brown hair.
How was the parade? I haven't been as enthusiastic to go to parades because our parades tend to be like maybe two or three floats, and yeah. the larger population of a parade that I've been to recently is lots and lots of pickup trucks with either a local businessman or right. a local candidate hucking cheap candy.
That's like, yeah, that's what ours was.
That there's no spectacle to that.
That's what ours was for the most part. There's a couple floats. My brother actually, he works for the hospital out where we live. And he made a float for them, and it was two giant. There was one on each side, two giant operation games, and it was actually functioning. That's cool. So it would have like it had a baseball where the elbow was for the was baseball player's elbow? Name. That's what I thought. I thought it was tennis elbow, have but they it was. I don't know if they've updated. He'd updated
an operation board in a dog's age.
So. I think there was like a hot dog in the stomach. There was all the and there was a rubber band. It, around the knee to shin area, and it was actually functioning. They had these big plier type things, and yeah. they were playing the game and pulling things out, and if you touch the side it sparked a little bit and made a big loud buzzing noise. It was really cool. They're actually going to use it for when they have open houses. That's like cool. for the public to tour the hospital, they're going to just lay those out and let them play them. So it was really cool.
Any Shriners on little go-karts?
No, we don't have Shriners out in Twilla County. It's a weird thing.
It's a dying art. Yeah. I haven't seen a Shriner in dog's age. A
lot of four-wheelers. A lot of, like you said, pickup trucks with a little trailer on the back tossing Otter Pops or rubber balls.
Another one that I see, you ever see that, like they'll have a farm vehicle and they'll have a bunch of you know, kids and adults in the back throwing candy, and you got the one or two kids that are really trying to
people with the candy. Yeah, that was me. We had a homecoming parade for my 20th high school reunion, and you always get to ride on the top of a fire truck. So that was me on the top of the fire truck, just hucking saltwater taffy as hard as I could.
Did you go to your high school reunion?
Yeah, it was pretty small. I mean, we only had like 90 to 95 people in my graduating class, so it was very small, and everybody gets along pretty well, so it was a nice little thing. I actually did stand up at it. Here's the funny thing. So if the guy that put it all together is listening, I'm not going to name you, but I am going to shame you. So I got asked to do stand up for my high school reunion. And it went okay.
Did you write material for it, or did you just kind of do your
a few jokes, like, but it was mostly just my own act.
Sling some very particular hash at some very particular.
I didn't really. I kind of played with everybody a little bit, but it was very playful, and it wasn't like I wrote a joke about this person. Like, so yeah, I didn't flamethrow or anything like that. Yeah, so it was mostly fun. But at the end of the night, the guy that put it together is like, so. Guess it's time for money. And I was like, oh, you didn't have to give me any money. I was just going to do it just to do it. And he's like, oh, no, your portion for the food. So I had to pay like $30 for the food after I performed for everybody. So that's how my stand-up comedy career is going. I had to pay $30 to do stand-up to people I went to high school with. So that was fun. But the 4th was fun. Just hang out with family, do some fireworks. I hate fireworks, by the way. I like the ones.
Take them or leave them.
I like the ones at the park. Those are really cool to watch. Like the big, whether it's at a local baseball game or
feel in your chest.
Yeah, those are cool. Those are fun to watch. But as far as like your run of the mill dumb person buying as many fireworks as they want, I am not down with it. I'm done with it. It's so dry. There were fires in the town next to us in fields. People were catching fields on fire.
Yeah.
My wife was watching videos on Facebook, people that she knew recording it, and just flames everywhere. People are so stupid. You need to be able to pass a test.
You probably should.
Yeah, for sure.
When I was young, my dad would go to Wyoming to get like the illegal fireworks
up to Evanston.
Evanston, yeah, he would do that, and he would just go bananas. And it ended up being we would have our own little miniature major regular fireworks show in the middle of our cul-de-sac, and all the neighbors would come out, and I can't replicate that now.
But it seemed like people were more responsible.
I think 20 just, and 30 I think years we ago. Just got old. It's just saying, I was going to say, I've gotten with, you know, with fireworks you can buy, I get that little bit of, that little itch of like, well, but what if this did go south?
Right.
I can't handle a third degree burn.
We had one kind of tip over last year and shoot toward everybody.
We did when we were kids, we were doing bottle rockets. And down this, you know, because it's cul-de-sac, you know, you go out of it and there's a street going by and the opposite side, I guess you'd say, neighbors were sitting in their front yard and the bottle tipped over and it shot out and they, you know, all scattered, jumped side to side. No one was hurt, though.
Oh, that's good. We saw people down the street that had the illegal ones, the ones that go way high up in the air.
Yeah.
And it tipped over and went underneath their truck and started shot like six rounds underneath their Have nice you seen pickup truck.
That bootleg fireworks video?
I haven't.
It's like some neighborhood, and there's a guy filming it, and it just boom, boom, and it's like all of them go off at once. Oh, and wow. There's the guy holding the camera is just you'll have to watch it when we're off here. He's just screaming, oh, bootleg fireworks, just running around, and it is really funny. A lot of personality.
Have you ever seen the one? I want to say it was like in San Diego. I don't know if it was SeaWorld or something like that, but it was one of the big, like, official fireworks shows. But something happened, and one shot off too early and lit the rest of them, and they all went off.
I've seen some like that. That's insane. I don't know if it's the exact one, but I've seen ones like
that. That's insane. Yeah. That was people panicking. That wasn't bootleg fireworks. That was, bootleg. We're going to die.
When we're done, look up bootleg fireworks.
All right.
Anyone within earshot who hasn't seen it, look up bootleg fireworks.
I give everybody permission to pause this. Watch bootleg fireworks and then come back.
All right, welcome back from bootleg
back.
Fireworks.
Thanks for doing that, everybody.
You're late to the party with Travis Tate still. I'm still Jake. He's still Travis.
We're still here.
But, you know.
Be responsible with fireworks.
Be responsible with fireworks.
It seems like grown-ups were actually grown-ups when we were kids.
Be responsibly irresponsible. Hey, look, like I said, my dad went and got illegal fireworks. It didn't always go exactly as planned. I don't know. Just be careful.
But he knew what he was doing, right?
Presumably.
Did he ever yell?
I never went up and said, Dad, are we really okay?
Did he ever go, hey, y'all watch this, and like put it in between his legs and shoot it off or something stupid?
No.
Like,
okay.
No, he never That's did what that. People do now.
He never did that.
We are two adults, and we're recording this, and we're going to talk about things that we did when we were kids.
Yeah,
people aren't adults like they were back in the day.
This is one of my go-to stories. Have I told you the fart can story before?
I don't believe so.
Okay, this is a go-to story. Anybody who knows me will have heard this story because it's one of the perfect hilarious stories. As a young man, my brother and I, you know, were comedians.
Okay.
So we had like a can of almonds or something, and it came in this little sort of lengthy Pringles can that was painted like a nutcracker. And they end up using it as decoration. And after a year or two, my brother decided, you know what? That can has to go. Or no, we didn't decide that. No, that comes later. We decided that the can needed to become part of our act. And so what we were doing at family parties is we would fart in the can, cover it real quick. And then we would go around trying to convince family and friends that it was a cinnamon-scented candle can. Like, dude, check this out. Like, it's really... Wow, really the ambiance, you know, and they'd stick their nose in it and then chase us around the house.
Right.
Because we were,
so it actually held it in?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And maintained
the successful
flavor, so to speak?
The light is green, the trap is not clean. And then, so that summer, we realized the error of what have we done. Like, the can has to go. The can is done for. This can has been contaminated. And
it was eating through the bottom of the can.
Yeah.
It was rusty.
So we took it to...
It was rusty in more ways than one.
Gruesome. It's a family show. We took it to my most responsible friend, Corey's house, and tried to decide what to do with it. And the decision was made. You know how to do a modified ground flour?
No.
You can basically turn a like a one of the little ground flowers into the equivalent of an M80. And I'm not going to give out this recipe because this is a family show.
Okay.
But everybody already probably knows it.
Okay. I've never done it.
You can.
Nice.
I'll tell you after the show. You kids out there, I know you're listening.
Don't Google it.
Don't Google it. So we made modified ground flour. So it was like an M80. And in my friend Corey's backyard, they had this weird little half fence. And they were hanging out by the half fence. And something also about me, when I was a kid, I was the kid in... I was the wimpy... Not the wimpy kid, but I was the kid who wasn't sure about it. I was the kid... Like, if you've ever watched the opening for Magic School Bus, the one kid with the glasses, he's like, I don't know, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing's ever gone bad, but every situation's still, he's like, oh, I don't know if the friends will be okay this time. I was kind of that kid. And so, and my brother and my friend Corey getting this all together, I'm like, I don't know, guys. I'm going to go over here. So I walked all the way across his yard. They light it, they throw it in the can, they pop the top, they throw it on the ground, and they go hide behind this little half fence. I am, base guess, somewhere between 50 and 75 yards away. Thinking, wow. Well, it's going to explode, but right. I'll be okay because I'm safe. Boom! The thing shoots. I guess the cap just stayed where it was. The can sails across the yard like a sniper's bullet toward me. And the way my brother describes it, he said, I kind of tried to juke to the left, juke to the right, and I tried to jump. And it hit me square in the shin.
Wow.
And knocked my legs out from under me. And I laid there with this pain in my leg and in my pride while my friend Corey and my brother. The biggest danger that afternoon was those two dying from asphyxiation from how hard they were laughing at me.
So it wasn't shrapnel. It was all together still. It was a blunt object flying at you.
It was a blunt object. Okay. I mean, it was whole shrapnel, I guess. But yeah, the fart can propelled, like no arc to it, just straight across, plowed me, knocked me all the way over.
The fart can. I like
fart
it.
Fart can.
I like it.
So if you want to say, like, back in the day, people seemed a little more responsible. Like, no, it just...
Yeah, but that's who the adults are now. That's my point.
I don't think a lot of the adults were any better or worse off, but...
Maybe I'm just romanticizing the past.
Regular 4th of July, you know, people have their barbecues. Like, I have my barbecues on the weekends, so I'm cool.
Good. Glad you had some barbecue. We had some burgers and such.
Also, we were, previous to that weekend, we had my family staycation, and we'd done so much stuff through staycation. I think by the time the 4th was, we were just still like, you know what, we still just need to lay in the house. We went...
You were like, we have familied.
We're have done. Familied. we rode the Heber Creeper.
The Heber Creeper?
You been on the Heber Creeper?
Not for years.
Well.
Not since I was little.
That train from years ago might still be on the same tour.
Still creeping.
The ride on the Heber Creeper is pretty interesting, but it is long.
It's only 0.7 miles long, but it takes 8 hours. It is
0.7 years long. No, it's really, you know, it is a pretty fun thing for a good long time on it. It's, you know, it's these old trains. It's pretty, there's just some, it's homey, it's rustic.
Right.
The countryside there is beautiful, you know, riding by a lake, or not a lake, by a river. People waving to you, you know, the temperature.
People shooting at you?
Yeah, no. Well, they did have, they had a couple of people pretend to be bandits come through, popping off pop guns.
I remember that.
And they had this old guy who sounded like he was constantly winded. And he would just kind of plod in, and then he'd turn on his microphone and he would do a bunch of cowboy poetry.
Call him old Emphysema Joe. Yeah.
So, it was a pretty good time. We did that. We went to Provo Beach.
Whoa.
Which is...
Is that what Seven Peaks used to be? Or is that different?
No. It's kind of the equivalent of... That's the thing. I don't know a catch-all for other places in the country. It's just like arcades, bowling is like the Fun Dome or Galleria.
Okay. All right.
I guess I don't know. Were you familiar with the 49th Street Gallery?
Oh, yes. I went to the 49th Street Gallery many a time.
I worked at it when it was the Fun Dome for a little while. I worked in the arcades.
I always loved the bowling there. It was like you walk through this Dickensian London scene, and then you enter a bowling alley. where they have flashing lights.
That's right. The Galleria had a little bit of theme, like
it was like a cobblestone.
The mini golf was Blackbeard's. The stanky mini golf was. Blackbeard's Cove.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess going for that authentic Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. They were trying.
Went for the smell too.
Yeah, it smelled like feet, which is weird because the bowling alley was on the other side. It's almost like they sent the shoes over there just for the ambiance and then brought them back for people.
That's kind of what Provo Beach is, just like arcade area, bowling alley, mini bowling alley, which we didn't even
do. Mini bowling alley.
Laser tag, which I'm not going to do laser tag.
Laser tag's pretty fun.
And they had this thing called the Flow Rider.
Ooh.
Which is
that just, surfing?
Yeah. Kind of like the standing wave. The one that you'll see videos of people killing themselves on. We can just let the kids do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Never,
but
ever,
it actually,
ever.
The Flow Rider turned out... It was really fun to watch the kids kill themselves on that. And it tired them out in a way that was spectacular.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. My secret paranoia about the Flow Rider is not falling. It's that they turn it on and I don't move. And the waves just crash around my feet.
That was another reason that I you know, other than, you know, I don't want to hurt myself. Not big on just swimwear these days. And then, like I said, I'd be, you know, they get on the surfboard and just plop and it.
I don't want to be a human peninsula.
Yeah. So we did that. It was pretty, you know, that was fun too. We saw Incredibles 2.
And how was that?
You know,
I still haven't seen it.
You know, I enjoy that movie, but this is really the summer of the perfectly fun to watch sequel that does not really justify its own existence.
No.
It was the same thing with Jurassic World. I haven't seen it, but I have a feeling I will probably enjoy Solo, but come out going, I don't really see why we need to do this. Probably same thing. I would probably enjoy Ocean's 8 perfectly fine and come out and go like, man, why did they do that?
Ocean's 8, the interesting thing about Ocean's 8 is, and I saw somebody make a Facebook post about, why do you have all these female comedians and it's a waste? I thought they gave them a lot to do, honestly, and I enjoyed it.
Did they?
But the audience that I saw it with didn't laugh until James Corden showed up at the end.
Gross.
So, I don't know, 3/4 of the movie goes by, people aren't laughing. I'm laughing because I think it's funny. Yeah. Maybe I get the joke and they don't. I don't know. But it's like, here comes a man. Now everybody starts laughing. And it was not old people. There was a lot of young people. There was people on dates. There was women weren't laughing. It was weird.
Oh, pick it up,
then
ladies.
A man shows up, so I guess it's okay to laugh now. I just thought it was very strange. That's something I noticed in the viewing where I saw it.
That's strange. I was listening to a show this week, comic book based, and one of the gentlemen on it was talking about this book he was reading called Understanding Comics that was from, I want to say he said it was around 2000-ish. It was a lot of years ago was the point. But he was saying that, you know, this guy was talking about, it was a lot of theory of, you know, understanding how you read comics. And I guess that's I've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. Ain't trying to brag, but I read comics a lot. I guess I don't understand that someone who doesn't read a lot of it coming at it, doesn't necessarily translate how to read this panel to panel.
It is actually intimidating if you hadn't, I had gone 20 years without reading a comic. I started buying them because my kids wanted to get into it. We started going to free comic book day, and that kind of, you know, got them the taste of it. And opening a comic back up, it was okay reading the actual comic, but I started getting into digital comics, and that was weird.
Yeah,
just the structure of it. Yeah,
how's that exactly?
I don't know.
I don't know the same. I had a
I didn't Marvel, like it, so I don't do it anymore.
I had a Marvel Unlimited subscription for 2 years.
Okay.
And that's just, I don't know if it's, when you say a digital comic, is that specifically made to be digital, or in the case I was reading, they just take regular comics, scan them.
I think that's what it was.
Have it work out. They had a mode in it where it would go from panel to panel where you're supposed to be reading.
Right.
Even that sometimes didn't work out perfectly, but.
I think that's what I was looking at.
But, you know, they talked about things like that, but.
But yeah, if you don't know where you're supposed to go, sometimes I would read it and go, oh, crap, I skipped ahead. I need to go back up to this frame.
Hey, I guess that's how it is. I just never really thought about it. But another thing he said, that this book that he read from some years past, was the guy talking about, what does comics need to do going forward into the future, what are comics going to need to do? And he talked about how, you know, he had predicted, well, digital is going to be the way it's going to go. That's kind of playing out. And I think it will keep doing that going forward, because just buying comic books is so expensive as a hobby.
Oh, yeah, it is really expensive.
It is so expensive on something that, by and large, is, you know, once you've read it, you're kind of done. They don't hold right. value.
No, they don't.
None of them hold value anymore, unless you're doing goofy collector BS that, again, you're going to be buying it at a premium. You're going to have to fight to get them, and that stuff's no fun.
It's like baseball cards. I mean, if you have some from 80 years ago, yeah, they're worth some money. But the ones that are out now,
they were going to be money.
Yeah, people are collecting them. They've got them saved up in a special place.
Same thing with all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's a fun hat. I really enjoy doing it. It's pulpy fun stories. I enjoy it. I enjoy different artists, things like that. But, you know, doing it, buying physical copies is really expensive, and it stacks up and you don't know what to do with it. And that's all kind of real. The thing that really struck me that he talked about that we're kind of getting into with the Ocean's 8 thing is he predicted the way forward for comics, and I think nerddom in general, is there needs to be diversity. There needs to be more women. There needs to be better written women. There needs to be more characters who aren't just white men, and they need to be written better. Every week it seems like that's the discussion, but people are there's a large dumb wall of fandom talking about, like, oh, they're pushing these things on us. Someone who knew their stuff, someone who wrote quote unquote academic books about it years ago, said, if we want this genre to keep going, this is what we need to do.
Right. And I always felt like there's two different schools of thought as far as that goes, because there's somewhere, okay, now Thor's a woman. Or Iron Man is a teenage African-American girl. Or they change the gender. Is that what I said?
I forgot. I thought you said Thor.
Thor, and then I said Iron
Thor
Man.
Thor is a woman. I think they might actually have just closed that up. But Thor is a woman. Iron Man. I mean, that. Do you know the whole conceit behind the Riri Williams? I think it's Riri Williams is the Iron Man character.
No, not that much.
In Civil War II, hey, spoilers for people who aren't up on Civil War II. Civil War II, at the end of it, Tony Stark kind of gets punched into a coma.
Okay.
He had uploaded his consciousness to an AI, which this young girl, Riri Williams, who was, I think, made a bootleg Iron Man suit. Somehow she came in contact with the consciousness of Tony Stark, and he decided to kind of help her.
Typical YA youth finding.
Sure.
Their, yeah, that
By the
kind
way,
of thing.
Dr. Doom is Iron Man right now, too. So
what? Okay.
Getting out there.
So, but there's two school of thoughts. There's that where you take an existing character, you switch the gender or the race, and plug somebody in, and that's the way to create diversity. And that's the one that freaks people out, by the way. Or there's the way that's more a better path to go is create a brand new character, and it's going to take years. But it allows you to develop a backstory for that person. It's just not an instant plug-in. Where you create that's of a different ethnicity.
The hard thing about that is, because I see that complaint. People, you know, message boards and they're like, oh, just make a new character. Don't muddy the water in these existing characters. It'll be stronger if you make a new one. And in theory, that is, sure, great. The problem is, new characters don't catch on.
They don't. Yeah.
Unless they have... And the thing about it is they don't muddy the waters. Things like X-23 is the all-new Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you see Logan?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
The young girl
character. I'm late to the party on Logan.
Well, it's a good movie, but it's brutal. It is a brutal movie.
I was planning on watching it. Every year we go up to Park City for a week as a family, and I was going to watch it up there.
Well,
I have nothing else to do.
I will just warn you, it is a brutal kind of just depressing movie.
Well, yeah, so, they used.
I think it's great. I really
Johnny
like it.
Cash Hurt as the.
I really
the
like
trailer
that
song.
Movie. But that. So the young girl character is X-23. It's this character that they brought. And I mean, that's the thing is there have been so many Wolverine kind of offshoots and clones over the years.
Spider-Man.
You got Venom, who's getting his own movie now. Mm-hmm. You got Carnage. You have any number of these symbiotes. People didn't complain about them making different. You know. Like I said, just Spider-Man, you got those two symbiotes, you got Ben Reilly, the clone Spider-Man, people didn't complain until they started making women like the Spider-Gwen or the Miles Morales, who, I don't know if you've seen the previews for the Into the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for
That's Miles Morales.
Right.
He came from some years ago, Marvel had this initiative called the Ultimate Universe,
right,
which was supposed to be a more hardcore adult one. And their Peter Parker died in that universe, and Miles Morales took over for him.
And in the movie, Miles Morales' uncle is played by Donald Glover. Did you know that?
Is that who does that voice?
No. In the Spider-Man movie, Homecoming, the character that Donald Glover plays is Miles Morales' uncle.
Really?
He even references he's got to get back to his nephew or something like that. That's why he was getting ice cream.
Huh.
But yes.
I don't remember that part, but I haven't seen Homecoming in a while.
Because he was like a small-time thief or whatever. I actually did some research on it.
Well,
believe it or not, everybody.
There's crazy things. Boy, which one is it? I want to say it's the Edward Norton Hulk movie. So again, Hulk be dead in comics right now.
Okay.
And in his place, they have this character, the Totally Awesome Hulk, who is a character called Amadeus Cho, a young Asian kid.
Okay. Yes, I've heard of that.
I'm not fond. That one's just not my speed. I just don't really care for that.
What is his Hulk-like personality? Is it just his regular personality?
Quippy teenager, I think.
Largely. While he's the Hulk.
Yeah.
I think
there's not, but
that takes away the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
But you also have, you have She-Hulk who...
Right, she's regular person too. She's
more or less regular person.
But then you're just giving somebody really intense superpowers.
That character is played in the Edward Norton movie by...
I didn't know that was in the movie.
Because it's a funny thing. Okay, so do you know who Martin Starr is?
Yes, he was in Freaks and Geeks, right?
Yeah, he is sort of low-level playing Amadeus Cho in the Edward Norton Hulk.
Which, really?
And, hey... How Asian is Martin Starr?
Not very.
So, it's
he could be
things,
adopted.
It's those things. I think it's great. I understand, except for I don't understand why people get so worked up about it, because there is just such a vast library of whatever those characters are.
Also, in a comic book, it's all going to come back to the way it was eventually.
That
anyway,
also.
It's always full circle.
Regular Thor is going to be regular Thor again.
Right. They kill Captain America. Captain America comes back. They kill Batman. Wolverine, turns out he's stuck in time.
It is a joke.
He comes back.
It is a joke within the universe of how often Wolverine dies and comes back. Or any number of X-Men. The X-Men all have died and come back.
Right.
So many
Superman.
Times.
Remember Death of Superman? We all...
Yeah.
We were what, 12, 13 when that came out?
I always wonder about things. I'd have to
and
go
I actually
back
thought
and look at the
Superman's dead.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes how much that stuff is. I wonder if DC was wanting to close that door. Because, I mean, they did it. I guess it's not so much. I don't think that they ever meant to kill off the brand of Superman. Because they had all kinds of, you know, I think they had the red and blue Superman. I think they had a young Superman.
Right. There was Steel, which brings us to something we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, they had Steel. They had plans. So I wonder if they really were hoping, like, hey, we want to close the book on Kal-El, Clark Kent, and we have this whole thing. It's going to be the business from now on. I wonder if it was that, or if it really was, we're going to give this a few years, and then Kal-El's totally coming back.
I think they were split. I think there was probably people that wanted that, and then people that were like, you can't get rid of Superman. Don't be stupid.
Because I got to feel like, did you know about the whole Captain America being evil the whole time thing they did a couple years ago?
The Skrulls?
No. He was a Hydra agent.
Oh, okay.
Marvel came out, and I didn't read this one. Some big event, but the culmination was a single panel.
I think I've heard a reference to it.
Captain America saying, Hail Hydra. And they'd come out and said, no, he has been a deep Hydra agent the whole time. We have stuff to back it up. We have a story to back it up. This is the way it's going to be. And it didn't end up being that. And that's one of those things that the nerd rage went. And then when they... And the thing of it is just like you said, of course it's not going to be that way. Of course they're going to take it back to the status quo. It's Captain America. They're not going to go with evil Captain America forward. But the nerd rage happened, and then the nerd rage, and it kind of goes back, well, okay, he's Captain America. And then like, we did it. We won. We beat the corporate overlords. Like, no, they were going to do this the whole time. You have no power.
I think that's them writing themselves into a corner and not knowing what to do with him. It's like turning Stone Cold Steve Austin into a bad guy. Like, we've done everything we can. We don't know what to do. Let's make him a bad guy. And then it gets rejected, and they're like, we're just kidding. He wasn't really a bad guy.
They plan that stuff out so far ahead in the future. There's no way they hadn't had that, I don't know, something that big. I think that I'm sure that they write themselves into corners all the time, but it's just minor stuff that you never hear about. Something as big as Captain America being all the way evil the whole time, I guarantee you they had the out on that. They had the out on that planned.
Probably. Can we go back to Spider-Man Homecoming for a second?
Sure. Sure, buddy.
How good was Michael Keaton in that movie?
Michael Keaton is great at that. I'm telling you, if nothing else, if you don't like those stories, I get if you're like, oh, Marvel movies are formulaic. The casting in the MCU, so top-notch.
Oh, yeah. Watching that movie, it made me want a Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton returning as Bruce Wayne. As crotchety old Bruce Wayne. It made me want that so bad.
I would be, hey, sure. I'd totally go for that.
Speaking,
I'm up for anything anymore, personally.
Speaking of Batman, I discovered something new.
Oh?
Well, new to me. Everybody else might have already heard of it. It's these cartoons based on the Adam West Batman series from the 60s.
Return of the Caped Crusaders?
Return of the Caped Crusaders and Batman and Robin versus Two-Face.
I have watched those. That is the closest I've gotten to getting my son to watch the Adam West series because I adore.
Right, because it's campy.
West series, speaking of good casting, the Adam West series is rife with amazing character actors from the era.
And they do their best to bring back as many characters as they can. And
yeah, it's got all the old voices are there.
So Burt Ward is Robin, Adam West before he passed away,
and his
dentury goodness as Batman.
You have to let go of that because boy, Adam West, Eartha Kitt is in it.
Eartha Kitt has been dead for a while.
I thought it was.
Who
am I thinking?
No, Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar's in, but I could have swore that. Well,
there was a little sequence where he saw three different Catwomen.
I could.
And there was somebody doing an Eartha Kitt impression.
Man, I could have sworn I saw that in the credits. My bad.
Maybe it was before she died, but I thought it wasn't.
So yeah, Julie Newmar and Adam West in particular, you have to really let go of reality. And
even Adam West, you could kind of hear old Adam West for a while because he kind of sounded old in the 60s the way he spoke.
That's also
the way he spoke. It was very much older than he actually was. But the Julie Newmar part was a little hard to listen to.
But they are perfect parodies.
Perfect.
The idea of Batman always he loves Justice more than he loves Catwoman. And
right.
My son and I still parrot the walking out, they're like, to the crosswalk. That stuff. They're very funny.
And the one with Two-Face has William Shatner playing Two-Face.
I love that they draw Two-Face as a young William Shatner.
It looked like obviously. Captain Kirk, William Shatner. Because he wasn't established in the old series, so they could do anything they wanted.
Yeah.
And they made it William Shatner, and he was in his top Shatnery goodness. Mm-hmm. It was almost like one of those old Christmas specials you watch from the 60s and 70s where voiceovers were not an art form now.
Or any number of Scooby-Doo.
Right, specials. That's what it felt like. It was so out of place, but it was also very enjoyable.
It's too bad because, of course, our RIP Adam West, so presumably they're not going to keep doing those. I wish they could. I would love to see one of those featuring the Harlem Globetrotters.
Curly. That's the only one I can remember.
Meadowlark Lemon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because they showed up on Scooby-Doo. They also showed up on Gilligan's Island in live action.
You're right.
But it was fun. It was enjoyable.
so many things that I came into contact with due to Scooby-Doo. I probably know who Laurel and Hardy is due to Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Batman and
Robin. That was pop culture for us.
Adam West, Batman, and Robin showed up on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, they did.
A few times. So.
Yeah, they did. But it's got all the old characters. It's got the Joker. It's got somebody doing a...
But they're doing a Cesar Romero.
Yeah, Cesar.
The only thing I kind of wish, because they seem to be very all in on it.
Right.
I wish that they had tried to make it look like he had the mustache.
I know. That's what I was looking for, too.
I really wanted that. They have someone doing a Burgess Meredith Penguin.
And the Riddler was pretty close.
Riddler's pretty close. The King Tut's pretty good.
Yeah, King Tut was good.
Someone does avoid the voice of King Tut. I think. Oh no, that's
somebody did a Roddy McDowell for the Bookworm.
Did they?
Yeah, they nailed it. It was a lot of fun. There was actually even references to the movies in there. I think it was Catwoman said something like, have we lost Batman forever? And then
that's right. They do have little things like that.
There was a point where Batman kind of starts to turn evil and he goes, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Yeah, they definitely did that. That is that one is not going to pass me by.
It was a Michael Keaton reference. And then there's not to spoil anything, but there's a reference to the Dark Knight Returns at the end of the first one where Catwoman basically says, I'll turn myself in if you promise that we'll go to Paris and eat lunch in a cafe and run away together.
Yeah, I guess I probably should have gotten that.
And Robin goes, ugh, lame ending.
How do you like The Dark Knight Rises?
I like parts of it. I mean, who doesn't like doing Bane?
Yeah. Take
control, Gotham. I was born in the darkness. First time I saw it, I thought, did Sean Connery record this with an oxygen mask on? Because that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, he definitely put his mark on it. You could say that.
Yes.
Because it comes from Doug Benson. You know, he does the voice in the Lego movie. Bane voice. Yep. And it's that Bane.
Yep, that's what it is. It's fun, though.
Maybe perhaps he's going to be like, check it out, everybody. I'm Venom. Oh, look at my slimy body. It's my body is now 100% darkness.
I'm a space symbiote.
I'm an anti-hero. Don't you know what that means? I'm good, but oh, so bad.
That Venom, I don't know. It's hard to tell from the trailer. I don't like to judge things just based on the trailer, but
I'm happy to prejudge it, but I'll admit if I'm wrong, sir.
I don't see how it's going to be any good. No. And I like Tom Hardy.
It's the concept of, hey, we're making a Venom movie, but it has nothing to do with Spider-Man is real weird.
Do kids today like Venom? I mean, Venom was cool when we were kids. Venom was like, he was like the Boba Fett of the Marvel Universe.
I've never been that big on the whole symbiote thing. I've always felt, I've always felt like the symbiote thing was, like, we need Spider-Man to be edgy.
I always had, remember the Secret Wars toys from the 80s? Did you ever have those?
I don't know.
I had a black-suited Spider-Man. I thought that was pretty awesome.
No, the black suit Spider-Man stuff is all kind of interesting. And Venom's not bad. I think it was when it broke off into, like, Carnage. And like,
mm-hmm.
You know, it gets into, like, 90s era of things like Spawn.
Where right.
Like, well, we're trying real hard to be edgy. My cape is huge, and John Leguizamo was a clown. But now that it just looks like it's a weird choice. I guess we'll see how it goes. But
right,
you know, doing it completely divorced from the Spider-Man lineage is odd.
Speaking of 90s superhero movies that did not work well.
Wait, are we going to talk about the Phantom?
I actually own the Phantom. There's parts of it that are cool.
Do you slam evil Billy on Zane. A regular basis?
Yeah. It's. It, sorry, did you know Catherine Zeta-Jones is in it?
Is she?
Yeah.
I saw that movie exactly once.
Christy Swanson, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's in it as well. There's parts in there that are kind of cool, but overall it's interesting.
What would you say, is Christy Swanson known for anything besides being original Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was
probably not
such a blip?
I mean, she had small roles in other things, but she was in that football movie from the 90s. I can't remember what it was called.
Was it Necessary Roughness?
No, it was one about, I think it was called The Plan or The Program. It was called The Program, I think. It was more of a serious movie.
Surprisingly.
Well, speaking of sports.
No, first we have to get back to superhero movies.
This is intertwined. This is the same subject.
Are you going to talk about the NFL Super Pro?
No. Oh, I remember that. No, I'm going to talk about Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh.
Speaking of, we mentioned Steel earlier.
We're having an all Shaq attack.
I saw a report that says Shaq, Mr. Shaquille O'Neal, once almost ran over me in a car, by the way. I saw I was crossing the street during the 1992 All-Star game that was in Utah, and a car just about slammed into me, and I looked in the passenger seat, and there's Shaq.
Sorry, Travis.
He was a rookie. Anyway.
Bad Shaq.
I saw a report that Shaq wants to be the next Rock. Yeah.
How old is Shaq?
Shaq has got to be...
Look at that.
46, 47, somewhere in there, I would guess. He's pushing 50, I think. Probably about the same age as The Rock, to be honest with you, because The Rock is about that age, too. But here's the thing. When The Rock first started making movies, I'm pretty sure everybody thought, The Rock's going to be the next Shaq. He's going to make lousy movies that are going to be terrible.
Okay.
And he's going to go away.
How old would you guess Shaquille O'Neal is?
47.
Yeah, close. 1972.
So he's 5 years old. So he's 45, yeah. 46.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
For some reason, that's a thing. Like, basketball players start so early. And
he came out after 1 year.
So
he was like 19, 20 as a rookie.
Athletes start at such a young age and are done while they're still young. And somewhere in my head, here's an interesting thing to talk about. We got so much stuff to get back to. I'm gonna jump on this one. Is I have this problem with athletes and actors where I guess it's athletes seem like adults when they're obviously just young adults.
Yeah, because they've got the bodies of men.
So when I find out that, you know, Shaquille O'Neal is 46, I'm like, oh, he seems like he should be older. Like, no,
right.
His time was when he was very young. And the similar thing that I get is...
He's been in our lexicon for 2 decades, though, Shaq has. It's a one-syllable name that everybody knows. If you say Shaq, even if you've never seen him play, you know who Shaq is. Because in the 90s, he was doing Kazam and Steel and all these other movies. And he was doing raps,
He just didn't commit to it in the same way that The Rock commits to everything he does.
I don't even know if it's commit. I think he doesn't have the talent that The Rock does.
I mean, there is...
Shaq is a charming guy. And if you see him do the TNT pregame show, he's knowledgeable. He's likable. But that doesn't make you a good actor.
Not to disparage The Rock too much. I question whether The Rock is a particularly good actor, in as much as he is just so charming.
Right.
Any movie you watch, he is playing that same character. He is going to talk. He is going to make references to how strong he is. They're going to talk some actor to talk about that he's wearing a lot of baby oil.
In the new Skyscraper movie, he's only got one leg. It's Die Hard with one leg.
He's the drummer from Def Leppard, except from the belt down.
So he's trying to save a building. And it's like Die Hard was John McClane running around in glass.
Oh, that glass part.
With no shoes.
He could kind of pogo through the glass part.
Well, this is The Rock on one prosthetic leg.
Hmm.
So it's taking it up a notch.
Again, Skyscraper, I mean, I guess that's an action movie.
I'm looking forward to watching Rampage. That should be coming out in the Red Box pretty soon. I'm looking forward to renting that.
I talked to you about one of The Rock's qualities is he will shill to the bone for whatever he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
He was putting up posts on Facebook about how, like, oh, I remember hitting the arcades and tossing a bunch of quarters. Like, no, you didn't do that. You never did that. I am telling you, The Rock would, for enough money, and probably, I guess I don't know. I don't know what The Rock gets paid. If they came at him,
I'm guessing
he would star in the Huffy the Bike movie, and he would be on social media talking about how important this movie is to him, and he's putting every bit of sweat, blood, and bone into that movie, and Huffy the movie would end up making blockbuster money.
I bet The Rock makes $40 million a movie.
I'm sure he makes huge money, but The Rock is as far as I can tell. I would love to see the list of movies that have come across The Rock's desk, and he said, "Nah, that just seems kind of dumb."
Probably The Shape of Water. have there been any Holocaust movies recently? I could see him turning that down.
Man, I will say, because it's got to happen. It has to happen. I will be really interested to see what The Rock Oscar performance is. Because I guess, you know, I said that about his acting. I have also heard things, I just haven't seen him. He does turn a few less action movie-ish roles, mm-hmm. and he's supposedly quite good in them.
I think he does a good job.
I like The Rundown a lot.
The Rundown's a great movie. But look at the action stars.
But that was
also
pre-Gigantor,
right.
Dwayne Johnson.
With the exception of people playing superheroes, which are characters that were already established before they cast these. Look at the action stars that are making money now. It's all people in their late 40s to 50s, even up to 70s when you get into Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
And that's people just don't.
Robert Downey Jr. does a lot of stuff now where he's doing action stuff. Johnny Depp is 50 something. He's still making a lot of money.
That's all the eyeshadow's doing the work on.
But that's who's making the money. It's the older guys. It's there's not any young action stars. They've tried with the Twilight guys. They don't do anything.
You know, I want to, and I guess you're right. A lot of them are getting like, I think Chris Evans is great, but he is pretty heavily wrapped.
He's kind of vanilla.
But I like him. I mean, you're not wrong. But I like
who would you rather cast in a movie? Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, or Chris Hemsworth? I would take Hemsworth no matter what the role, because I think honestly, he's the best actor of all of them.
You're probably not wrong, but I think I just have a soft spot in my heart for Chris Evans.
And I like him too. I got a picture with him at Comic-Con.
Some of the roles that he's done, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, he is, I guess some of it is, and I guess the other Chris's are just as guilty of this. I like a actor who you can tell is having fun, which is odd because I think I've heard he doesn't like being Captain America anymore.
I heard he wants to direct. He doesn't want to be in front of the camera anymore.
He does smaller. I mean, I don't know
he probably wants to have a slice of pizza.
Or is that Sunlight that he's in? I don't know. He does some smaller stuff, and he's good, but he's a guy I like. And true, yeah, he's vanilla. I like
him. I like him, too. I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying Chris Hemsworth's a little more engaging. That was very Shatner.
That's certainly valid.
There was a pause. Engaging. I even used my hand. You guys can't see that.
Haven't I heard
he's that. Very engaging.
Welcome back to Chris Talk, everyone.
Chris Where Talk. We already talked.
We run down the Chris charts.
We went Chris Pratt for a long. Oh, we haven't talked about Chris Pine. Speaking of Shatner, Shatner. Chris Pine's all right.
You know what? And there is a very much like Pokemon evolution of like Chris Pratt to, I guess you'd say Chris Pine to,
Chris Evans.
Back Chris Evans to Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth. I go Hemsworth. He's probably the top evolution.
Although outside of his turn as Thor, Chris Hemsworth not turning in a ton of super memorable performance.
I just saw one where he's in the army. It was right after 9/11. They were the first band of soldiers sent into Afghanistan, and it was really good. It had Michael Shannon. It had Michael Shannon in it. He was amazing. Yeah.
Michael Shannon has this face that he is never gonna get to do those sort of roles. Because he looks like Michael Shannon, which is, if you're out there, Michael Shannon, I adore you. I will marry you right now, Michael Shannon.
But you'd think...
He is such a good actor.
You'd think, looking at that, Michael Shannon's going to, like, kill him on this, as far as, like, talent goes. But Hemsworth was good.
That's rough. Like, Michael Shannon is a favorite of mine.
It also had, I think his name's Michael Pena. He's in the first Ant-Man movie.
You know, I have not seen the first Ant-Man movie.
Really?
Yeah, oh. My kid is getting all up on me about needing to see
it. Watch it. It's fun. Ant-Man. It is a lot of fun.
Looks like a fun movie, yeah.
I don't think you necessarily need to see it to see the second one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Have you seen any other Michael Shannon properties? Because Man of Steel is not the best showcase for his talent.
No, right? Not at all. Yeah, I've seen him in little things here and there.
There's one called Take Shelter that is... Right. A really interesting movie. Midnight Special is really good. My favorite Michael Shannon is the HBO series Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know he was in that.
There is a scene featuring him and an iron that is one of my favorite things ever in a show.
An iron.
An iron, yes.
Okay, did you ever see Suicide Kings?
Oh, yes, I've seen Suicide Kings.
You remember the iron in Suicide Kings?
No, I don't.
Dennis Leary walks in.
Anything about Suicide Kings.
Okay, there's this guy that's abused.
Suicide Kings the one with...
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, with Christopher Walken.
They kidnap him.
That DVD's in my basement.
Really?
Somewhere.
Yeah. There's a scene where Dennis Leary...
That's one of those movies that I'm afraid to go back to.
Dennis Leary is looking for whoever kidnapped Christopher Walken, right?
Right.
And he happens... I don't remember the circumstance, but he happens upon a guy that's like beating up his girlfriend. Well, he walks over, grabs an iron, wraps the cord around his hand, and pummels the guy to death.
Yeah, I do kind of remember that.
I was like, yeah!
Suicide Kings.
Dennis Leary.
There's like a 90s indie movie genre that's in. And a lot of them did not age well. Boondock Saints, coming for you,
Boondock Saints. I never saw Boondock Saints.
That movie sucks.
I know they did a sequel a couple years ago.
Pajamas when I first saw it. I tried to watch it again, and it did not age.
What about the Kevin Smith stuff?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't age very well.
You know, I'll probably always have a certain fondness for Clerks just for... It was something very different at the time. Mallrats I'll have a little bit of affection for because it's just silly. I can't look to that for quality. Chasing Amy, did not age well for the theme.
Yeah, for what it is, no, not at all.
You start getting past that. I think Dogma is a really interesting movie. Mm-hmm. That's one I haven't gone back to, but I think it's an interesting premise, and I think you get like some pretty, you have some really good performances in it.
Right.
Story-wise, I don't know how it stacks.
That's where he started bringing in like actual movie stars. That's when Ben Affleck was a movie star.
Yeah.
And well, he was in, Chris Rock was in it.
Ben Affleck was in Mallrats, that's right.
Yeah, but he wasn't a movie star yet, and he was kind of secondary. He was just kind of the jerky role.
No, he was the buddy in it, wasn't he?
No, I thought he was like the rich guy or something. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
No, you are right. He was the jerk. I'm thinking of Jason Lee is the buddy, and then the main guy, I can't even remember his name. He is so...
Yeah, I don't remember
he
either.
He is so forgettable. He is like... he's like bargain Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, that's a good description, actually. Fraser. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Which is regular Brendan Fraser at this point. Regular Brendan Fraser.
He's a tragic figure.
I think he's talented.
I think he...
He was great in the 90s.
Yeah.
He was like...
Well, he
was like Chris Hemsworth back then. Remember George of the Jungle? That dude... Okay.
Not peak.
You're laughing Blast at George
the,
of the Jungle?
Blast from the Past I like.
Blast from the Past is good. George of the Jungle is a good movie.
I don't know if I can follow you.
No, it is. I still like it. Look at the people that were in it. I mean...
I don't know if I even saw that movie.
Leslie though. Mann... She's been in all of Judd Apatow's movies because she's married to him. What's the guy from Wings? I can't remember his name now. He's
Steven Weber?
No, not Steven Weber. He was Lowell in Wings.
No, that wasn't
Steven Weber.
It was the guy who was Lowell.
Oh, he was in what's the wine movie with Paul Giamatti? Yeah, he's in that. What's his name? Dang it.
I'm gonna get it real quick. And I'm kind of mad at myself for not having this one. Thomas Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church.
You know what? That's a travesty that I didn't get that one.
Me too. But he's in it. It's actually a really good movie. I think we should close out with, since we were on the subject of basketball, let's talk about the big news this week. LeBron James signed with the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm so outside of it. It's going to blow your mind. I don't really have much for sports, so...
I know, and a lot of people listening to this won't, and you're wondering, why are you even bringing this up? Why are you closing with it? Because LeBron James signing with the Los Angeles Lakers greatly increases the chances, in my opinion, of getting Space Jam 2. At a time when a couple weeks ago we talked about...
strong point.
We talked about Warner Brothers coming out with new Looney Tunes cartoons. We also have Shaq that wants to be the next Rock.
The
Shock. He could be in it.
Is that an umlaut? Is that a line over an accent? Which one gets him to be the Shock?
The Shock. I think it's the little double. Is that the umlaut? The little double things? I don't know. Maybe the person in the Netherlands knows.
You know what? Yeah. Hey, Netherlands out there, get at me.
All I know is I walk around and I see teenagers wearing Space Jam t-shirts. And it blows my mind. Like, this came out 20 years ago, and it's still a thing.
Have you seen Space Jam recently?
Probably 5 years ago.
How did that age?
I mean, it is what it is.
Isn't it chock full of very, at that time, 90s references? Like,
yeah.
One of the gags in it is that, Elmer and Yosemite Sam are the guys from Pulp Fiction? Like, just the only gag, is that they're just, it plays like the song, and they're in the suits. There's no... lead up or anything
which
like that.
No little kid got that. Was completely for adults, so I guess watching it now an adult would still get it,
so
or a kid from back then would now understand it.
Yeah, I guess they're dressed up that way. That's not really a goof or anything,
but people love Space Jam. It's a cult classic.
I've gotten older, and the character of Lola Bunny is what did they want kids to feel?
Here's my theory behind Lola Bunny. Okay. Remember that scene in Wayne's World where Garth goes, were you ever attracted to Bugs Bunny when you dressed up like a girl?
They said, like, let's just stop the, let's
they're
take
like,
out the middleman.
They were just like, cha-ching, girl bunny.
Lola Bunny didn't carry from that onward. We didn't really see Lola Bunny anywhere else.
I think she might have shown up. They had like a Saturday morning 90s cartoon, and I think Lola Bunny was in that. But other than that, mean, she's not really in the lexicon of things.
We didn't ever see the character of Bill Murray didn't carry anywhere else from that, did it?
No. Well, Bill Murray, I think that's where serious that's where career. Bill Murray's current incarnation his current incarnation that where he's like this cult figure, I think that's where it started. Because
I met Bill Murray when I was a kid.
Yeah, because he used to own part of the Salt Lake Trappers.
Yes, my brother was a bat boy. He was way nice to us than we deserved.
Oh, that's great. No, that's great to hear.
Because you'll hear various stories about he's prickly and things like that. Or now he does the weird, almost Tom Hanksy things of people won't believe you and all that stuff. He was very nice to us, and we didn't deserve for him to be that nice. So
that's because it was after Ghostbusters 2. He's like, I got to maintain all the fans I can.
Yeah, I guess I can't really think about where he was in his career. He had a big beard.
It did kind of restart his career, though, because he was doing some pretty terrible stuff in the mid-90s. Remember Larger Than Life? It was a movie about him traveling the country with an elephant. There's one where he was an accidental spy kind of thing. The Man Who Knew Too Little, was that what it was called? I think so.
Sounds like there was some other comedic actor.
I think you might be thinking Steve Martin and the Pink Panther now, but
no, I like Rowan Atkinson maybe.
Mr. Bean. No, Rowan Atkinson was Johnny English.
Boy, that's not well-worn territory or anything, is it? Yeah. The spy who was accidentally a spy. You sure that's not the one with? God, now I'm running out of all of these. There were a lot of those. I'm thinking about them right now.
Yeah, there were a whole genre, for sure.
Steve Carell had one of those movies too, didn't he?
Are you thinking about Get Smart?
No, I think he had one where he was just straight up a spy in one of them.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, I guess now I got to look up and see if Steve Carell was in one of those. That'd be weird because he was in Get Smart, but I think he was also in a spy one.
Guess who else is in Get Smart? The Rock.
Is he?
Oh. The Rock is in Get Smart, yep.
You ever seen The Other Guys? Lots of rings people a bell. Like The Other Guys, The Rock... The Rock has actually a pretty good part in that, but I did not care for that movie. Lots of people think it's hilarious. I didn't like it that much.
All right, I'm just going to start reading out Steve Carell's biography here. I'm
trying to find it myself.
I'm going
to
go back from 1999.
Let's see. We're going to go opposite ways because Get Smart's in 2008.
Okay, I got not Bruce Almighty.
No.
Watching Ellie. That was a Sandra Bullock. Of course, Ron Burgundy, Anchorman. Sleepover? No? He was in Come to Papa? Wow, that's starring Tom Papa. He's a good guy, by the way. 40-Year-Old Virgin, Bewitched, Over the Hedge. William Shatner's in there. Little Miss Sunshine, that wasn't a spy movie. Evan Almighty, Dan in Real Life, that was a depression movie.
I could have sworn he was in one of those spy movies.
Date Night? You thinking Date Night with Tina Fey?
No.
Where they accidentally get involved in some sort of crime and they're getting chased by people?
I'm completely wrong. I could have swore there was I'm thinking of something where he's wearing a suit and tie and he's got like his fingers up like a gun, but maybe that is the wrong.
It's probably Get Smart. Are you thinking like in Date Night, the guy turns the gun sideways and he's like, oh no, he turned the gun sideways. We're going to die. Anyway.
Back to Space Jam. Space Jam is one of those movies that I feel like is very of its time. So I guess a modern version of it, and that's also being sort of away from sports. In the 90s, I was a little more tangentially aware of sports. So Michael Jordan was this huge thing.
Right.
And he was also a big personality. And I've wondered if LeBron is that same, is he that analog personality-wise?
I think he is. I think he's actually got a better personality than Michael Jordan. Oh.
Michael Jordan, undeniably, is a horrible person. So
yeah,
not,
he's...
I guess at the time, I didn't know that.
We liked Michael Jordan because of the way he played and because of Nike and Gatorade commercials. But Michael Jordan on his own, not a good...
No, no.
Not a good personality.
He's a bad person.
I think I'm...
He's not a bad person. He's just a jerk.
I mean, we'll probably find stuff out about LeBron James in 20 years. But
it's well-trod territory. Michael Jordan, if you get into those weird discussions of who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan, and if people talk about like, well, LeBron doesn't have all the rings. The reason LeBron maybe doesn't have all those rings is he wasn't such a driven, competitive asshole like Michael Jordan is.
He was, yes, still he is. Was. Still is, yeah. Still is. So, I mean, hopefully we'll get Space Jam 2 and it'll be fun. I mean, it's something that people still love, so you can't deny that.
Yeah, sure. I mean...
Bring Shaq in.
Going back to...
Bring in the dream team.
Going back to my favorite nailed it quote, I'll give it its day in court.
I'll give it its day. All right, we should probably wrap this one up. Don't you think?
It's been a good time. Do you have anything you'd like to plug while we're
here? Yes, I want to plug my headlining show up in Ogden, Utah, August 17th and 18th.
Coming for you, Ogden.
Come up there, you guys. Bring people. It's going to be fun. It's a great place. It's one of the best places in the country to watch stand up, and I'm not even kidding. I'm not blowing smoke up anybody's. You know, it really is a good energy. It's a great place. It's an all ages club, so you can bring teenagers or whatever. Don't bring little kids, because little kids don't get jokes, and I don't do any knock knock jokes. I mean, I can pull my keys out and shake them if I need to. I've done it before, but I'd rather not.
You don't want to start getting into prop work. You don't want to Carrot Top or Gallagher your career.
I might. I mean, I could bring a watermelon just in case. Worst case scenario, we cut it open at the end and share it.
Yeah, with a big comedic knife.
Yep. No, just drop it. I'll hit it with a sledgehammer. Everybody get a piece. Yeah. So come see that. This week I'll be, actually by the time this gets posted, it'll be over. But I'll be working with Kevin Farley, who's Chris Farley's brother. He's really funny. He's been in a ton of movies. He's a great guy.
Good. Good on you, man. Anybody interested can catch me on my sofa any night of the week.
We really got to, if you guys are listening to this, especially if you're listening to everyone, tell people about it. We want lots of people to listen.
Yeah. We'd like to get at some people. And you know, we'd like to hear how we're doing. We talked a little bit about the emails last episode. We're still looking for you, Netherlands.
If you see a funny story, send it so we can talk about it.
You made a little Facebook page, right?
Yeah, you can like Late to the Party with Travis Tate. It's on Facebook. There's a little page for it. We'll start posting stuff.
Yeah. Get at us a little bit if you want. God knows we want to be entertaining. So if we're missing the mark, or if there's something you want to hear about, love to help you out. So
just spread it around so it's fun for everybody.
Spread it around like the peanut butter.
Yep.
That said,
spread it around like herpes.
Just want to let you guys know, as always, I'm Jake. This has been Late to the Party, or over there.
And this is Travis Tate. Thanks for listening.
Wait a minute.
Better Tate than never.